Greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Let us pray. Eternal God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and through His precious blood, we approach You today and thank You for the truth, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. And Father, for every listener who has that assurance, we give You our thanks and we ask Your blessing upon them, meet every need of their lives. But Father, there are those listening today who do not have that blessed assurance. The Lord Jesus Christ has never come into their hearts. They've never repented of sin and turned by faith to the Savior who suffered and bled and died for them. And for those listeners today, our God, we ask Your blessing. Speak to them by the Spirit of God, and Lord, ere this program closes, may they trust the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord, Master, and Redeemer. And Father, throughout eternity, as well as today, the praise and the honor and the glory will be Yours. And we ask it, giving our thanks, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Today we begin a study following the outline entitled Rightly Dividing the Word of Truth, as edited by Dr. C.I. Scofield and adapted into correspondence course form by the Emmaus Bible School of Oak Park, Illinois. For those listeners who have ordered this excellent course, we would encourage you to get your Bible and your copy of Rightly Dividing the Word of Truth and sit down at a table where you can make notes. There may be others of you who are listening today and you'd like to get a copy of the course. And at the close of the broadcast, the announcer will tell you how you may do just that and give you the address that you can write or how you can call our home. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, the Apostle Paul told the young preacher Timothy that in the last days, perilous times would come. That is, difficult days would be here. He went on to tell Timothy that in the latter days perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient, unthankful, without natural affection, and so on. Read it for yourself. He described the perilous days, the difficult days, that would exist just before the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. And friend of mine, it doesn't take a very astute individual to read the Word of God in 2 Timothy 2, and then to turn to the newspaper, today's or tomorrow's, and see that we are living in these most perilous, difficult days. Surely the redemption of our soul draweth nigh. Surely the return of the Lord Jesus Christ is very near. But that isn't all. We're also living in the most exciting times, that is, for the Christian. Thrilling times. Things are happening. And yet, for the unbeliever, the days are frightful. Men's hearts are failing them for fear. We are able, through a proper understanding of the Word of God, to see all about us today prophecy unfolding. And that's why I say it's so exciting. Surely our redemption, I repeat, draweth nigh. It's nearer than when we first believed. I'm holding in my hand a copy of the Moody Monthly Magazine, dated October 1960. That's 12 years ago. And I want to share with you an article that was written by the renowned Bible scholar Wilbur M. Smith. It's entitled Jerusalem in Prophecy, and it relates to this age. Listen carefully as I read. Quote, "But looking at a modern map of the Jerusalem area, we note that the ancient city of Jerusalem, site of the Temple of Solomon and the holy places, the city surrounded by walls, some of the foundations of which go back to the days of Solomon, is not included in the state of Israel, but is assigned to the Hashemite kingdom of Jordan. Thus, the old city, the city to which our Lord was referring, is still under the control of a Gentile nation, and no Jew lives in that city today. Looking again at this map of Jerusalem, we observe that there is another city of Jerusalem here on the west and north, in which more than 150,000 Jews live today. The Jews have their own state, Israel, but they do not possess the old city. Between these two Jerusalems lies what is called no man's land. In some places, the distance between the Jerusalem occupied by the Jews in the state of Israel and the Jerusalem of which the Lord Jesus Christ spoke is less than 30 rods. In other words, our Lord's prophecy is within a few yards of possible fulfillment for the first time in history. If some morning, now this is what I'd like for you to notice, I'm still quoting, if some morning we should open our newspapers and read that Israel has taken the old city of Jerusalem and is able to hold it, we shall know that the words of our Lord have been fulfilled, and when this takes place, we are at the end of the age of the Gentiles. Even the Jews themselves acknowledge that it is only the hand of God which keeps them from taking the city. Unquote. Moody Monthly, October 1960, 12 years ago. Friend, you and I have lived to see that very thing take place. Israel now occupies that portion of old Jerusalem. They control the Wailing Wall. Things are shaping up fast. And Mr. Smith said in this article, when you wake up and see that Israel has taken over the old portion, you can rest assured that time is running out for the Gentiles. The dispensation of the grace of God, or the church age period as we often refer to it, is winding down. The Lord Jesus is fixing to set in motion the things prophesied, the things foretold about what would take place once His church, the believing children of God, have been taken up to forever be with Himself. Isn't it exciting to realize that all about us is unfolding the prophecy given by holy men of God as they spoke when moved along by God the Holy Spirit? Do you also see why we must approach the Bible, the Word of God, and seek as Christians to be guided by God the Holy Spirit, that we might rightly divide the Word of truth? For those of you who have the course, I'd like to just mention again 2 Timothy, but this time the second chapter. And Timothy, the believer, is presented in 7 characters. He's called there a son, a soldier, an athlete, a husbandman, that is a gardener or a farmer, a workman, a vessel, and a servant. And with each of these characters there is a suited exhortation. As a son, for example, he is exhorted to be strong in grace, for grace goes with sonship, just as law goes with servitude, as we learn from the Galatians. Then as a soldier, Timothy is exhorted to endure hardness and to avoid worldly entanglements. And these are right elements of good soldiership. And as a vessel, he has to be cleansed, separated, and so on. As a servant, gentle, patient, meek. And so of each of these 7 pictures or aspects of the life of the Christian. But in verse 15, he is required to be a workman. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. For most of us, study is real work, hard work. The word of truth then has right divisions, and it must be evident that as one cannot be a workman that needeth not to be ashamed without observing these divisions, so any study of that word which ignores those divisions must be in a large measure profitless and confusing. Many Christians freely confess that they find the study of the Bible very weary work. More find it so who are ashamed to make the confession. Therefore, the purpose of this course is to indicate the more important divisions of the Word of God. To go into the Word of God and see these divisions, such as in our first chapter, the Jew, the Gentile, and the Church of God, and to see that God dealt one way and gave certain promises to the Jews, but when He came to the Church, He had other promises, other prophecies, other things that we would lay claim to. And to confuse these two brings about much of the confusion that we see in the world of Christendom today. The student is earnestly exhorted not to receive a single doctrine upon the authority of this teaching, that is, this preacher, or upon the use of this course that some of you have in hand, but rather like the Christians at Berea, to search the Scriptures daily, for the Scripture is our sole authority. The Scripture is the only book which has the final answer. And the Berean Christians of old in Acts 17 searched the Scriptures daily to see whether or not these things were so. So that is our word today. As we go into this study, rightly dividing the word of truth, the Bible must be our only authority. We can turn to nothing else other than to the word of God. Is it any wonder that as Dr. Scofield sought to put Scripture into its proper perspective, that he began by considering these three groups of people that occupy virtually all of the Bible. And incidentally, over 50% of the Bible relates to the nation of Israel, the Jews. Then there are the Gentiles, which make up those who are not Jews. But then that third group, the Church of our Lord Jesus Christ, those who have come out of Judaism or out of the Gentile nations, and have acknowledged before a holy God their sin and their guilt, and trusted the man who died on the cross, even our Lord Jesus Christ. He's cleansed them by his blood. He saved them by his grace, as in faith they were born again. In Acts 2, we read that he adds to the church daily those such as are being saved. So, friend of mine, we would encourage you to prayerfully study the Word of God as we go into this course. A little rule of thumb that I'd like to share with you, and you might want to jot it down. It goes like this. As you study your Bible, each time you look within this book, five things observe with care. Of whom it speaks, to whom it speaks, and how and when and where. Those five little rules will greatly enhance your Bible study. And I see now that our time is gone and we haven't even really got into chapter 1. But God willing, next week, we're going to look at the Jew, the Gentile, the Church of God. The key text is give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the Church of God. And I ask you this morning, friend of mine, are you in the church? I don't mean are you a church member. I'm not talking about some denomination. I'm not asking you are you religious. But have you come in all your guilt and sin, repenting of that, and turning by faith to Christ, and been added to his church, the body of believers? Do you know him as Lord and Savior? If not, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. God says you'll be saved. May the Lord bless you till we meet again next week.